Konnichiwa,
Thank you. Yeah, and konnichiwa to you too.
Daf. Welcome
That's
back.
about the extent of the Japanese that I learned whilst I was over there.
Do you
Very
really need
uncultured
it?
of me. No, you don't. That's one thing that shocked me. Please put this in the chat if you've ever been to Japan that you noticed this. Is the chat open and stuff like that, Steve? Is that
Yeah,
all? That's all
should be
happening?
good.
Not
Should be
talking
good,
to
yeah.
you. Well, see how much English was over there? Like, everyone speaks English, especially in the major cities. But like all the advertising and on the trains and the buses and everything, it's all English. It's like Japanese is the second language there. I found it quite welcoming. Made traveling there a whole lot easier, that's for sure.
I reckon it's like the majority of places, unless you're going out to like rural places and stuff like that in any
Rural.
country. They pretty much you can
Yeah.
pretty much get away with English everywhere. Classic
I'll
dominant
agree.
Western culture.
Totally, it is. Mate, I hear Monday Motivation Meeting was a couple of cracker episodes in my absence. Now, that's either a really good thing for the Monday Motivation Meeting community, or it's a really bad thing for me, because now I'm just going to have to be like, the community will just notice me trying to outdo you on every single sentence in this week's episode, just to try and get back on top.
Oh,
Either way, we'll see what happens.
I'm glad to have you back, mate. It's definitely a different vibe, without sharing the load, so to speak, and riffing on some conversation. But let us know, team, if you have been around for Monday Motivation Meeting the last couple of weeks. How'd I do? I can't really comment on it, but I hear some good things. But let us know as well, team. Are you a loner? Are you a solo? Or are you in the boardroom? As always, we love to hear where you're tuning in from, what have you been up to? And as always, we do this every week on a Monday morning. Get you fired up for the week, 8 to 8:30 Brisbane time. And oh, Andrew, I am ahead of the game.
Yeah, I must say, Steve, this one caught me by surprise. I honestly went to Japan being like, you know what I'm going to have over Steve here is I'm going to win our outbound sales game and I'm taking 2 weeks off. Like, I'm just going to shove this straight in your face and go, come on, bro, what's happening? I've been smashed over the last 2 weeks. Smashed.
It's been fun. The viral LinkedIn post certainly helped get me there. So appreciate it if you have been a part of that viral LinkedIn post. Appreciate you reaching out. It's been a, I don't know, it probably put 20 hours or more into LinkedIn last week in early mornings, 4 a.m. starts. I did 2 a.m. finishes. She was wild, but glad to be not using AI and personally responding to all 12,000 comments or whatever it is on this post. It's pretty nuts. But thanks to you
The
if you
price of
did shout
LinkedIn
out.
fame.
Yeah, look, it's a tough gig. You wouldn't want to do it all day, every day, that's for sure. All right, sweet. Crawford's a loner. Welcome, mate. Matthew's a loner. Welcome, mate.
We love our loners.
I love the loners.
I mean, technically speaking, Steve, we're loners too on this Monday Motivation Meeting every week.
Exactly. Exactly. Darren says we're on the main office screen. G'day, team. Hope you're
Hey,
well.
Darren.
Keep the chat alive. We've got another good episode in store for you this week. Absolutely keen to dive into this one. We're kind of, what would you call this, Das? Is this bofu? Is this mofu? Is this tofu?
I
It's a
would.
bit of all of it this week, isn't it?
It's a bit of all of it, but if anything, you'd probably say it's a bit more tofu because it starts at the point of understanding competition and knowing how we're going to approach the market, knowing that it's a competitive landscape. So let's rip in, Steve. I'm keen.
Let's do it. Now, I've been having some issues with this double screen sharing thing, so I think I found out a way to get it nailed in the first go. So let's see. Wish me luck.
Good luck. I wish
Thanks.
you luck.
If I can get this nailed on the first one, I know I'm having a good day. This week's going to be absolutely sweet. So let me do this and that and this and that.
Jeez, I reckon he's onto it here.
Darren's normally the one to call me out, so let me know, Darren.
I
Did I get it in one? Is our camera
think you're
still
good.
working, even though you've got the full screen?
I think you're
Love to
good.
hear it. But Das, over to you for Monday Mindset.
Beautiful. So, team, let's talk about competition. So, if you're here on this Monday Motivation Meeting, chances are it's because you're in sales or in sales leadership. If you're in sales or you're in sales leadership, one of the questions that you're going to run into a lot in your sales day is questions surrounding the competition. So the competition can do this, they can offer this, but you can't. You do this, but they don't. They're cheaper than you, you're more expensive than them, or vice versa. They said they could do this for us if we buy by this week. Can you match that? Anything that the buyer comes at to you saying, hey, there's another group of people here offering something pretty similar to you, is a question or an approach that you're going to know, need to know how to tackle in sales. When you exist in what we call a blue ocean, meaning you're the only person or only team or only sales team in your market that sells something that you sell, and you're really unique in your own way, that comes with its own set of problems. So you don't have competition when that happens, which is good. But usually what happens is your market doesn't know about you, and you have to explain how things work a lot. And that becomes the objection you need to deal with instead of competition. Okay. So that's my way of saying if you have competition, a lot of people say they don't want competition, but please understand if you don't have competition, that comes with its own set of problems. If you do have competition, it means that your market is already buying your thing. They don't need to be educated, they don't need to have it explained. Usually they're going to be pretty aware that they've heard of a thing called a car, or they've heard of a thing called a light bulb. They've heard of a thing called glasses. They know about these things. You don't need to educate them on it, which is a good thing. Okay. So if you're getting questions about the competition, then it just becomes a matter of, well, how do we approach this whole competition conversation? And how do we approach this whole idea that competition happens in business, and at its core, business is competitive? Here, we're going to show you how not to approach it, and then we're going to show you how to approach it. We're looking for aha moments here, team. We think this is going to help you a lot. Please remember this. At the core of all business is people. So when people talk about your competition, they're not talking about your competition. They're literally talking about Gary Clark and John Senior and Sally Broom. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're actual people. They're not the competition. They're literal human beings that are trying to do something similar to what you're doing. When you're in business, the core of business is always people. People, by default, are typically unhappy. I'll say that again because it's the truth. People, by default, are typically unhappy. They, on default, are not getting the things that they want in life. They're not happy with their weight. They're not happy with the amount of financial growth that they have. They're not happy with the relationship that they're in a lot of times. They're not happy with what their kids are up to. They're not happy with the tax going up. They're not happy with how the economy's going. Things around them, they're generally default is unhappy. That's just the way the brain works. It looks for problems, not solutions. So usually people are looking for how are things going wrong in their life. I think if you ask the stats on it, it's around about like 85% of people consider themselves to be not at all anywhere near where they want to be financially. 85% of people. 10% of people say they're doing okay, but they'd love to be doing better. So now we're up to 95%. 3% are happy with what they're earning. And then around about 1 to 2% are what they would call themselves supremely wealthy, right? So around about 95% of people have the results in life that you don't want if you're on this webinar. 95% of people. So why on earth would you spend your time focusing on them and what they do and what they have? Well, that's what people do when they focus on the competition. I'll say that again. When you're focusing on the competition and what the competition are doing and using that as your reference point for how you should be behaving, 95% of the time, you've got a reference point that leads to unhappiness. Isn't that fascinating, Steve? Right? Is this landing? Does that make sense? Or have I gone
Yeah,
on too big of a tangent that we didn't get back there at the start? Okay, great.
totally making sense.
So if that's the case, team, what you want to be able to do instead is, people say forget about the competition. That's partly true, depending on, there's a lot of context that goes into that. It's a part truth, it's a half truth, but the competition that you should be focusing on, if you're going to focus on any, is a made up competition. And the made up competition is the version of a competitor in your market who is the absolute best at what they do and they're only getting better. So if you work for ABC Company and you literally have a competitor called XYZ, the last thing you want to do is sit around the boardroom and go, what are XYZ doing? Yeah, they're doing that a bit better than us. Okay, we should probably do that. Oh, they're not doing that. We're doing pretty well there. Okay, we won't change that. And you assess ABC Company, a company that actually exists. Biggest waste of time you could have this week. Instead, create DEF Company. And you look at DEF Company, and they're a made-up company, and they are absolutely smashing it in your industry. They've got the majority of the market share. They're taking care of their customers better than anyone else is. They're having better conversations with their buyers better than anyone else is. They've got better products. They can deliver them faster, whatever it may be. Have a made-up company that is the supreme, and then compare yourself to that. And once you compare yourself to that, guess what your job is to do? Aim to become that. Create in your mind the best competitor that you can and aim to become that. That is the sort of competition that has a standard that is that 5% of quality business that exists outside of the 95% that's generally unhappy anyway. And that's the best way to do competition analysis. Last reason is this, because ultimately what you're doing, team, then is you're really starting to actually compare yourself to the competition that is yourself. You're not comparing yourself to the competition that is the competition anymore. You're comparing yourself to who am I today compared to how good we actually could be. That's the real competition that we actually need to be going after and taking down. Thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, I love it, mate. I think it's a really practical exercise that you can do, and maybe something that you might be able to do as a team in your team meetings after this Monday motivation is, take a heading on the whiteboard or on a piece of paper and call it the ultimate competitor. Remember, it's a made-up entity. But start to ask yourself a few questions. If you had an ultimate competitor, like the juggernaut of the industry that you've made up in your mind, what would they be focusing on right now? Good question of discussion. Where would they be focusing and what would they be focusing on? How would they be having conversations and who would they be having conversations? And a big one here, and this is a good source of innovation and creativity, is what would they be doing differently to you right now? You had this ultimate competitor out there. What would they be doing differently to you? If you even just get a couple of dot points on each, you've essentially now got a new roadmap of where you can focus. Because I think you bring up a really important part, Darce, is when you get so heavily caught up in the competition, the real competition, that standard or that level of excellence, if you want to say it that way, is your glass ceiling.
Yeah, I find this fascinating.
If you're in an industry where everyone kind of sucks, you will naturally not play to your full potential or live with high standards because you just know that, well, everyone else kind of sucks. So we don't need to go above and beyond. But the way you dominate is by competing against yourself, competing against this ultimate competitor, and start to innovate in the areas that pop up for you, particularly that last one. What would they be doing differently to you right now? If you can imagine this, you'd be like, oh, yeah, they'd probably be having a crack at this strategy, or they'd be outworking this outbound sequence, or they'd be putting on events, they'd be attending events. I don't know. You'll notice what pops up pretty quickly. And then the key then is just putting that into action. And you know that you're getting some big leverage as you go through it. So.
It's good, really good. I love that point, Steve. We were talking about this off air before, just about how if you focus on the competition, that's as far as you can ever go.
Yeah.
And then that sort of presupposes like once you surpass the competition, then you kind of crap yourself because you'd be like, oh, we can't compare ourselves to any. The only people we can compare ourselves to now are those below us. So that becomes the anchor that you focus on. Stuff that.
Who's that guy that founded Gymshark? Do you remember his name?
Ben Francis.
That's it. Yeah, I remember listening to like a podcast interview with Ben, and for those that don't know, Gymshark is multi-billion dollar company. They make, gym apparel and all that sort of stuff. He originally started out making bodybuilders t-shirts. And the interviewer was saying, Nike must be, Under Armour must be super, concerned about you. Are you thinking about what they're doing? Are you concerned by Nike? And his response was really interesting. He goes, no, I don't think about them at all. Like literally 0% of my time is thinking about what Nike and Under Armour are doing. I'm terrified of the next Ben Francis kid who's currently working in his own garage, making his own apparel, getting way closer to the marketplace than I am because we're too big now to really understand, day to day, what does a bodybuilder want? I'm terrified of him. Like, he's on my mind every day is who's the next kid coming through that's just got an edge that we don't have. And I just found it to be such an interesting mindset and a different approach than I think many entrepreneurs would take is to not be afraid of the big guys in the marketplace and what they're doing. It's like, no, I'm afraid of the nimble, agile startup who could find a gap that we can't find because we're just so caught up in our day-to-day systems. And I think it's a really, really cool way to look at it because it
That's
creates this
cool.
daily healthy fear rather than just, you know, trying to reach up the top and seeing what they're doing, you know? Who cares about them? Your ability to be agile, nimble, innovative, creative, that's where the secret sauce is. It's not in just huge amounts of money that your competitor is so big or whatever. Like I found that to be really powerful.
Quality. Love that.
Monday model team. This is linked to competition, but in a way of understanding your value proposition. We've done lots of consulting sessions, Das. We call them your unfair advantages. And a lot of time when you ask a business or a salesperson, hey, what's your unfair advantage? What sets you apart from the rest? Many don't know. Many don't know what makes them unique. Give us a shout out in the chat if you found the same sort of thing, team. It is difficult sometimes to understand what is your USP, what makes you different, what makes you stand out. And often when we explore that conversation, thus it's almost like the next step is they feel like they need to make something up, right? Well, maybe it could be this, or maybe it's this widget that we've got, or maybe it's because we care more, or whatever it may be. It's just this guessing game of what makes you stand out. I think the better approach, team, and this week's Monday model is to take more of a scientific approach to what you do and a scientific approach to what makes you different.
And quit the
And
guessing game. Quickly,
quit the
quit
guessing
the
game.
imagining.
Yeah. And I call this the 100 interview strategy. I think you can pretty much find out all the areas of innovation you ever want. You can find out all the language you need to use in your content and your marketing. You can find out everything by simply conducting 100 interviews. And how this works is you pull out of your existing marketplace, your existing database, and you conduct interviews with these people. Most people suck at post-sale follow-up, post-sale conversations, post-sale discoveries. It's like work really hard, get the deal, move on to the next deal. But if you slow down and conduct 100 interviews and asking these type of questions, remember these are from people that have already bought from you. So it's not making it up at all. This is proof in the transaction. You start to ask the clients, hey, what do you love about us? What do you actually find valuable in what we do? The second question is, why did you ultimately buy from us in the first place? And the thing I found with this, when we've done our own interview process, the reason they bought is normally way simpler than you think it is. But once you know that simplicity, there's huge power in it. So you want to find them. Hey, what was it that actually caused you to buy in the beginning? What was the trigger? What was the nudge that got you over the line? Why did you actually buy from us? And then the final one is an innovation or creation piece, which is, and what do you wish we could be doing better, or what do you wish we could be doing different as well? If you ask these 100 people and you're really there to learn, you're not there to pitch, you're not there to sell, you're not there to use it as an opportunity to upsell or anything like that. This is a genuine scientific approach. Almost imagine you're doing a PhD on why people buy from you. You're there to just simply gather intelligence and gather the research. You won't have to guess anymore around why people buy from you, what they love about you, and what they wish you could be doing differently. This client-centric approach, I think, is way smarter than guessing, than marketing, than convincing. It's just like you as a salesperson will have an edge, because I guarantee you there's pretty much no competitor of yours that's actually taken the time to conduct 100 interviews to start to get inside your buyer's world and deeply understand what caused them to buy. You can use this even in future conversations when people go, hey, what
So
makes
good.
you any differently, Das? Why should we buy from you? You can say to them, hey, don't, we're not going to tell you our reasons. We actually interviewed 100 of our best clients and we asked them that very question. Let me send you the document of their responses.
100
Powerful
interviews
stuff.
can sound like a lot as well, but the time that it'll take you to do 100 interviews versus the time it takes to figure it out by yourself over years, I'll take the 100 interviews any day. And at Hunt Team, 100 interviews, that's just a number we've pegged at it. After you've got done your first 10 or 20, you're going to start having patterns emerge already. The following 80 will just confirm the patterns that you probably find right at the start.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff, Steve. I like that.
I want to riff on that for a sec, Das, if we can. Because I'm starting to realize more and more that effort, pure effort, is the greatest differentiator in the marketplace, and pure effort is the way you build the strongest unfair advantages. I sense a lot of the time people don't act on really great strategies because it requires effort.
It'll take time.
And they're looking for the easy way out. They're looking for the quick fix. They're looking for the hack. I'm learning more and more and more that the quick fix hacks takes you way further away from your goals than taking the time to put in effort. And the reason I bring this up is, this viral LinkedIn post that we put up last week around giving away our life's work for free and the playbook, when it started to go viral and get, thousands and thousands and thousands of comments, I made a deliberate decision. I wasn't going to use AI robots to help make my life easier and give a bit of a time hack. I realized that if I just put a little bit of effort in this and manually message every single person, that's going to create a way better outcome than getting all of this attention and then going, sweet, what's an AI robot that can just make this easy for? How do I remove the effort in this? I've only had one comment out of 12,000 that's been negative.
What was that out of curiosity?
He said the design looked, what was the words he used? Scummy or something? Can't remember the words he used. Just one. That was it. 11,999 other comments have been overwhelmingly positive. And even more so, I can't tell you how many thousands of people have said, bro, the fact that you're actually messaging every single person, unbelievable. We need more people in the world like you. That's the thing that they said a lot. Now, I know that if we just took the easy time hack and just did an AI robot and said, off you go, we wouldn't create that same response, connection, relationship. I'm starting to realize that effort is the hack. If it's going to take effort, it's most likely going to really result in huge outcomes for you. And so, again, for the 10% club who takes these models on and actually puts them to work, be the only one who puts in the effort in the marketplace to conduct the interviews. I guarantee your competitors will not. And that effort is what will pay you huge dividends. So just
That's
want to
awesome.
put it out there. Just quit looking for easy. Quit looking for the fast track, silver bullet. It's not there. The actual focus on that is what's taking a lot of people away.
Nice.
My two
Love it.
cents.
Good one, mate. Tim, our time saver. In terms of the way that you can start to understand the language that your market is attracted to, many of you have heard of this strategy before, but it's so, what is it? It's like one of those ones that's right underneath our noses, but we never actually take advantage of it when we can, which is this. If you go to your industry and the job openings of the people that you sell to. So let's say you sell to project managers and that's your jam, or you sell to managing directors or whatever it may be.
Design engineers,
Design
architect.
engineers. I'm just coming up with job titles here. If you can go to just use a website like seek.com.au is massive in Australia. There might be other ones in New Zealand. I'm not sure if New Zealand uses Seek or what may be. But if you go to any sort of job offering website and you go to those open positions that are in the industry that you're after, if you read the job description, it will actually tell you word for word the KPIs and responsibilities and the language that that person needs to be able to use in order to succeed in their role. So if you go to, for example, a project manager and it has their list of responsibilities that they need to be able to take care of or what they're KPI'd on, you know that you can then go and create offers that uses those keywords and solves those specific problems for them. In a way that essentially allows you to approach a sales conversation where you can say, hey, project manager, here's your responsibilities. Here's our offer. They click in perfectly. Is there anything else we need to cover off? It's gold, this strategy, Steve. It's one of those ones that was like, it's similar to the Amazon strategy, which we'll teach another time. But one of those ones, as I said, that's right underneath our noses the entire time, ready there to utilize, but people probably overlook it a lot of the time.
100%. The other thing I love about this strategy does is it gives you all the language that you need to use even in discovery and day-to-day conversation, right? Let's say you research a project manager and their key responsibilities and KPI, and you see the word efficient, cost reduction, risk mitigation, reporting, you start to see all of these words, these little buzzwords, these little phrases that are obviously really common for that industry. But if you start bringing that up in even your discovery process, the buyer feels really understood that you understand what their role actually looks like. I think this is again another hack in sales that we often overlook is the whole WIFM approach is what's in it for me. That's in the mind of every single buyer, like what's in it for me. But when you really analyze your sales conversations and you have a look at your hot list, take a second to understand or explore whether you understand what's it actually like for them on a day-to-day basis. What is a day in their life actually look like? We sometimes go in with our own agenda, our own solution, our own widget. Look how cool it is. Look how good it is. Look how smart we are, whatever it may be. But if you can't empathize with what an actual day-to-day role looks like for them, they'll never feel understood by you. You'll just be perceived as just another salesperson. People really are attracted to buy when they feel understood in their day-to-day role, and whatever your service, solution, product, widget, whatever it is actually going to help them on a day-to-day basis. That's when they can start to like bridge the gap in their mind and go, huh, this would actually really make a difference. This would change my day. This would change my life, perhaps. It's huge. So another quick little tip around that is, yeah, go search the job titles within your industry, understand the language and the KPIs, but even have conversations with your buyer around their day-to-day. Where are they getting stuck? What's the major time sucks? Where are they looking to grow? How do they get paid? How do they get remunerated? How do they want to earn more money? How do they want to save more time? What risks keep them up at night and away from their families? There's so much that you can start to peel back the layers of to fully empathize with and understand. Like, again, no more guessing. Just we get your role. We understand what it's like to be a project manager day in, day out. It's huge.
Good. Nice. Love it.
Awesome. Final one, team. Question of the week. This is a really simple language pattern you can start bringing in. You can literally start using it from today. We call it the research question. So sometimes when we're doing outbounds, we're looking to try and book a meeting. We're trying to get some interest. We're trying to get them to commit to buying, whatever it may be. But where you can take a slightly different approach is go in with that scientific research mind. So how it sounds is this. Hey, Das, we're in the process of doing some research within the construction industry or whatever industry is specific to them. And we're finding that people are telling us three common problems. And you go ahead and tell them what those three common problems are. I wanted to know if you're finding the same. Can you tell us a bit about it? And go in purely with a research focus. For us, it could be, hey, we're doing a bit of pro we're in the process of doing a bit of research at the moment, specifically for sales managers and what they're facing day to day. We're finding that most sales managers are telling us three common issues. Like they're always forever concerned about forecasting results. They can't really see what's coming around the future. It gives them some anxiety. Second thing that they're telling us is the team are kind of winging it, taking a slightly different approach on each and every deal, but everyone's doing it differently. And the third one is leaders are always got this weight of responsibility. They're feeling like they always have to be the ones to drive and motivate the team. Are you similar? Is that similar for your role? Oh yeah, man. Definitely last one. Awesome. And can you tell us a bit about that? Oh, well, just last week, Johnny was way behind on his KPIs and I had to go have a little pep talk with him. Been telling him that for months, blah, 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 blah. And at the end, here's the kicker. Don't pitch, don't sell anything. Don't sell a meeting. Don't send them information. Don't do any sell at all. You just have this conversation. Imagine Das was the sales manager. We ran through that. He told me all of his issues, and I finished the call like this. Hey, Das, I really appreciate your insights, man. That's super valuable. I can't thank you enough. Cheers. You hang up the call. Hugely powerful because most people use a research process as trying to get to the next step of the sales conversation rather than playing the long game and leaving it where it sits, gathering that intelligence, take it to the next call, do your 100 interviews, and then from there, a week later, 2 weeks later, whatever it may be, you can go back intelligently with them and go, "Hey, Das, remember that conversation we had? Yeah. Well, I spoke to 99 other leaders. Just want to let you know the good news. You're not alone, man." Pretty much everyone said the same thing. So, what we've started to work on based on all of this is that something that you'd be interested in? Play the long game.
So
Absolutely
good.
works. No one does it. Research strategy makes outbound easy, makes cold calls easy because you're not going in with a take mentality. You're going in with a give mentality, which is sharing knowledge, sharing ideas, and leaving it at that. So, have a crack at the research strategy this week, team. Works a treat.
BG, very good. Love it.
Love it, team. We got a very simple ask this week. This LinkedIn post is going nuts. And I've just got a weird little goal to try and get it to 1 million impressions. We're up to
Would you
800.
help? Would you please help?
We're up to
It's an ask.
850,000. We're up to 850,000 impressions, 12, nearly 12,500 comments. I love it. It's awesome. We get to be generous with a bunch of people. We're making a bunch of new connections and conversations. If you could be so kind to go to the link that I just put in the chat, you know what we're all about. I'd just love for you to comment on there with your feedback of like same sort of thing. What do you enjoy about working with us on these Monday motivation meetings? What do you get out of the content? What do you wish we would be talking about? We just want to create a little bit more awareness around it, and we want to show to the community we're real people, we're real humans, we are generous, not just the one-off occasion. We like to give as much as we can. That would be amazing. So
My
go to
mood has
the
just asked, Steve, you'll get more comments in the process. Are you ready to respond to them all personally?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've
Good
made it my 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. process is LinkedIn. So I look forward to connecting with you all personally. And of course, if you want to download our life's work for free, which is this whopping big playbook, our life's work, 650 slides, you
thanks,
can
my
just go to
man.
that link, comment on it, and I'll hook you up with our playbook.
That's awesome. Hey, Steve, where are we at on Blitz? We must be days away.
We are so close, team. Like Blitz is going nuts. So for those that don't know, Outbound Blitz is going to be our free version of the platform. Helps you run power hours, helps you run full day blitzes on specific activities. Super easy to use, super simple. So we have put a waiting list on the website at the moment as well. So if you go to outbound.game, you'll see on the top right hand corner where you can join the waiting list to get access to the first piece when it launches. So feel free to do that. And I just want to do a quick poll for next week. What's your biggest sales challenge right now? Tofu, Mofu, or Bofu? I'd love to tailor next week's sessions based on what you guys are finding in the marketplace. So go ahead, answer that. Would love to get your feedback on that. And also thank you for our feedback on last week's episode on quick fire questions, rapid fire questions. We're going to be doing that once a month. So at the end of this webinar, once you hang up, you'll be taken through to a survey page. If you want to answer a specific question, we're going to be doing rapid fire questions again, where we'll collate that throughout the month and do specific episodes where we just hammer through as many as we can, give you some real practical, simple tips as we go. So
Yeah, it's great.
love it. 5 more seconds, team, and then we'll launch the results for the poll. It looks like Das or.
Oh, just evened up at the end.
Hey,
Oh, wow. There you go. Done, Steve. It was
love it.
tofu, but looks like it's bofu.
Neck and neck by one vote. So, Bofu, we're going to be talking about more closing strategies next week. So, if you do have specific questions around closing, also feel free to put them in the survey at the end. We might be able to do like a bit of a mixed ask next week on some rapid fire questions and closing strategies. So,
Beautiful.
love it, team.
Great to
Thanks
be
for
back,
joining
team.
us. And we'll see you again next week. Cheers,
See you next
Das.
week. Love you. Cheers, Steve.
Bye.